Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
This is the Chicago Way with John Cass and friends, Will Lee, Jeff Carlin. We're hanging out in the podcast studio. How many columnists and radio personalities have their own theme song? Not many.
Just one.
Casso. And people might say, I know that some people say, to have your own theme song, it'll make your head big. But let me tell you something. My head is already huge. It's big, and everyone who watches TV news and sees me standing behind a politician with my notepad out has noticed that my head is basically, I think, gigantor. Okay? It's really big. And that doesn't depress me, but I did have a depressing... But even though I have a big head, I did have a depressing... scene the other day, and we'll talk about, we'll get into, you know, the Vampire Planet, Jada Pinkett Smith, the Three Amigos, all the other stuff in the news, and the big picture of the last standing living reporters at the Tribune. But I have to tell you this story about the little Chinese man. Can I say that? The little Chinese man?
I'm almost afraid to say that. I'm going to finish this.
So I'm outside the other day, depressed. I've got the big head. There's a lot of work to do. My friend Scott has a girlfriend problems, and I'm thinking, can't the poor guy find a nice Jewish girl to settle down with and get married? There's all sorts of other issues. And I'm kind of funky. I'm outside. It's freezing. I see guys with their scarves outside their coat. I'm thinking I'm depressed for them. Like, you stupid moron, what is that doing for you? It's not keeping you warm. And I'm sitting there just kind of getting really blue. Aww. And all of a sudden, the Chinese man, I see him coming down Michigan Avenue, a tiny little monk. I don't know if he was a monk, and I really can't say if he was Chinese, but this is the picture in my mind that he was. And he had one of those little bomber hats on, you know, with the ear flaps. So he wasn't doing the ostentatious bald head, you know, shaved head thing when it's 40 below. And he comes up to me, little guy comes up to me, and he's like, peace, peace. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, peace. And the peace filled me, you know what I mean? And he said, and then he hands me a little bracelet. And I'm thinking, this is so nice, Chinese monk guy, you know, holy man that you are, giving me the bracelet. Then he hands me a little card, and he says, peace, again. And I'm like, of all the things that are going on with these bloodsuckers and politicians and everything, I'm thinking, this is just, my heart started opening up to him. And then he gives me a little booklet and a pen and says, please write. And I thought, wow, I'm a writer. All right. And then I look and he said, put your name. So I wrote my name, and then there's another space for what do you want? And I, do you want peace? And I said, sure, peace. And he said, I wrote peace. And then he said, what else do you want? And I, in another square, and I said, cash. I want money. And he's like, no, I want money. He goes, give me donation. And I'm like, no, I'm not giving you a donation. I want a donation. Give me some money, man. And then Then he just looks at me and takes the booklet, you know, closes the booklet, takes the bracelet and the little holy card out of my hand and walks away and gives me a look like, you bleeping. I said, just give me some money. All I want is money, man. He walked away. And it was kind of...
You know what you should have done, John?
What?
You should have asked him to teach you Shaolin Kung Fu.
He probably wanted to use it on me.
That's the Chicago way.
That is the Chicago way. But what is it? Then somebody said he's not really a monk because monks don't come up to you asking for money. Is there like a little Chinese man panhandler?
Oh, yeah. It's
Why did I know this?
You should have known it because you were with me when it happened to me, like last year, as a matter of fact.
I wasn't paying attention to you. My whole world is about me. No, but what happened? Did that happen to you?
Yeah, but I took the gold-plated whatever, and then I absconded with it. I ran off because, hey, I say a gift is a gift.
That same guy?
You put something in my hand, it's mine.
Absolutely. Right? That's the Chicago way.
9/10 of the law, right? Possession?
That's the Chicago way.
I gave it up like some fish, right? Like fish on his first night in the joint. I'm like, okay, please, take your little thing. Take your card back.
You've never been to the airport in L.A.? Like,
I've been to the airport in L.A., and I've been on a sushi hangover, so I didn't notice anything.
Ah, that'll do it, yeah. Because those guys are everywhere there.
It's monks, not Hare Krishna?
No, Hare Krishna is...
That's Buddhists. Like
Yeah, that's. I don't want to make fun of anybody's religion.
No.
I'm not even Scientologists.
You know, I don't want to say anything about anybody who would bet to make a religion who was a science fiction writer. I don't want to even go there.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
although one time I almost got killed over it.
Over Scientology?
Yeah.
Please tell.
All right, so Oak Brook Mall, Betty and I. She's shopping. I'm like, I'm not shopping. Forget it. You know, I had my two-store visit for 30 seconds, and that's it.
Sure.
Now, when you're a married guy of my persuasion, she knows what I like, buy me my blue shirt button-down or my white button-down shirt. I mean, what's the big, you know?
That's
my
peace.
Gray crew neck sweater or the navy one.
That's peace.
That's it, right? That's peace. So I'm in the old bookstore. It's called Crocs and Britannos.
Wow.
And it was they're closed down, but it was a chain, and it's jammed with books and stacks of books all around. I mean, on the floor too. So I start looking at I'm browsing. And this one guy's sitting on the stack of books. I don't know what it is, but now I want to look. So I'm walking around the store again. He's still sitting there. So I just said, "Excuse me, what books are these?" And he stood up in the crowded store and said, "It's L. Ron Hubbard, for Christ's sake. Do you want to read L. Ron Hubbard?" Everybody turns. I wanted to kill the guy. And if this were France in the 15th century, I could have run him through, and the judge would say, "What did he do to you, Mr. Cass?" And I would say, "He accused me of reading L. Ron." Oh, okay. That's fine.
Were you in a bookstore without your rapier?
Then I said, "I'm not reading L. Ron Hubbard. Just announce it to the other people who are staring at us." Because I really wanted to kill the guy. And he's like, "Well, I could have a gun." And as soon as he said gun, everybody dove behind the stacks. I mean, you see all these middle-aged suburban people jumping behind books is what it was. And I'm thinking, okay, this happened to me once before. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm a dead man because he's a crazy guy who hates L. Ron Hubbard and he's going to kill me. And somebody's going to write an obscene obituary with like snarky references suggesting that I
paid your money to Tom Cruise.
Right, but he just walked out. So we were lucky.
Jeez.
Wow.
That's my story.
That's a pretty frightening and, dare I say, hilarious story.
Well, we're thinking about one of the things about this podcast is we want to let people know how we really work.
Sure.
Because they see the formal column, right? They see the formal copy that's already been written by me at least twice, read by Will to protect me from doing anything stupid, read by Trevor Jensen to protect me from doing anything stupid, like you protected me the other day on the school column. You know, and one part of it is we're talking out what we do. How do you do it? So, like right now, we're talking about these two stories. Do either of them make a column? The little Chinese man? It's kind of like, that would be like Richard Roper's Walking Man. Right? Rich used to write about the Walking Man.
Yeah.
I love those. But I can't make the Chinese guy like that. You know, you're shaking your head. You don't like it. Yeah.
No, I mean, we've been talking about stories all morning, and I have to, you know, I still love Oscars, but I also love, and I was talking to Jeff about this, about how D.C., our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., completely shut down over an inch of snow. And I just thought that was the most, you know, here in Chicago, we've been complaining a lot, you know, for months and months about various things.
Yeah, we whine.
But a month, inch of snow comes, and people are stranded on everything from, you know, major highways to, you know, little byways. But everyone is stuck.
Have you ever driven, either of you have ever driven in D.C., Virginia, Maryland with snow on the ground?
No.
No.
It is terrifying.
Why?
All right. Think of driving the Eisenhower Expressway at 2 a.m, right? With cars weaving up and, you know, because everyone's blitz and they're driving home. Bumper to bumper, crazy people. That's what it is. Hmm. They don't know how to drive in the snow. The municipalities don't know how to deal with the snow. It ices up. Their roads ice up. You ever see, you know, what black ice is?
Yeah. Sure.
It's all over the place. You cannot, people just get killed. I mean, not get killed. They get, their fenders are destroyed.
Black ice matters.
He was waiting for that.
That was a good setup, wasn't it?
That was.
He was like, John, tell that story so I can tell my Black Ice Matters.
Black Ice Matters. Did you tweet that already?
No, that just came to me. That's good. I mean, I've been working on that all night. But they get snow in D.C. I mean, it's not like it's a temperate climate. They get all the weather we have.
No, they don't get all the weather we have.
They
it's
get
never
similar,
this cold.
Well, it's cold.
It's the East Coast where, you know, they are not, you know, exactly as strangers to snowstorms shifting in like the one that's coming this weekend.
They shut down their whole city, Washington, with an inch of snow.
That's crazy.
Like, what? The president doesn't get his morning briefing from the CIA because it's snow on the ground? Right?
Yeah.
I can't know. Joint Chiefs of Staff, sorry. We're not going to meet today.
They're always looking for a reason.
We're going to be at home watching, you know, game shows and playing video like Call of Duty. We can't come in to see you, Mr. President.
Okay, yes, that's crazy.
Know.
It's like Atlanta. Like, I understand if it happens in Atlanta because it's, you know, they get once in 100 years they get an ice storm and they shut down everything. Kids are stranded at school. I get that. But
you can write a column poking down on Washington. You know, they don't know how to drive in snow. But where do you go then? What's the rest of the seven? Where's the 700 words I need?
Well, I guess the story is, again, you can complain about whatever you want about this city, but the blizzard of 2011, 2 days after snowfall, and people were back traveling all over the place. The roads are open. If there are 2 inches of snow in an overnight period, I can rest assured I'll wake up and that the roads will be mostly manageable. You know, whether I live in the city or if I have to go to the suburbs, some suburbs more than others, but we just don't shut down to that. And that's one of the things about Chicago you have to love. You know, dibs, of course, that's another.
I got a note from a tweet from a nun in Boston saying dibs is going on in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like, I guess, a dibs controversy again.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty light dibs year.
It hasn't been dipsy, and we haven't had to break out the dipstitution at all.
No.
I know the scrolls are in, you know, my office under the sheepskin, you know, the shaggy rug that they're stored under. Yeah, but I haven't had to bring them out.
You don't know this, but John has a dibs diorama in his office, actually.
Really?
Yeah, you should take a photograph of it.
Oh, please do. A diorama, something like, did you make it, Jen?
I didn't make it. Some reader made it, right?
Yeah. You should come to his office at some point, see all of the reader-made things. Like, there are, like, you know, colorful butterflies.
Hair dolls? You know. Hair dolls?
Oh, yeah.
What are hair dolls?
You know what hair dolls are?
No.
Hair dolls are, it's like something like
are those those things that hung from the branches in the Blair Witch Project? Because then I'm running.
No, they're scarier than that. It's like, yeah, trust me. So, like, stalkers do this. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Swim Fan or Rules of Attraction.
Not into stalkers because that's why I have a leg man to protect me from them.
Right.
I'm scared of stalkers. And Will said that if some guy comes at me with a boning knife, he's going to launch himself in front of me to protect me.
I certainly said that.
So tell me about Stalker.
That's the hair dolls. It's a hair doll. So essentially it's something that usually happens in, I think, in like school settings normally. But like, you know, if you're obsessed with somebody, you know, there's like a hair on the back of their shirt. You like sneak up and grab it. Or there's like where they sit, you collect their hair. And you collect a lot of their hair. And then you make a doll out of it. And so it's essentially a hair doll. It's never an accurate representation, but these people make them, and you find them in crazy people's possession. And it doesn't necessarily have to be just their hair, but if like of the hair of the person they're stalking, it could be just, you know, just a bunch of hair that they find, and at least some of it's their hair, and then they worship it, and it's like their manifestation of that person for them to love and hold, and it's crazy.
I mean, like I would worship a hair doll of Barbie Love, the beautiful cheerleader that I was in love with.
Exactly.
Which I actually ended up dating her for a while. She was very nice.
Oh, good.
But I never had a hair.
Did you say doll. Barbie Love or Christy Love? Because Christy Love is.
Christy Love was always in my mind. I'm of that age.
Christy Love and
Jackie Brown.
Oh, of course, all the sort of the women of blaxploitation.
That
was John's like sort of.
Let's do it because this is Will's way of transitioning into what he wants to talk about. So let's go, bring it, because I want to talk about the vampire planet.
Okay.
No, but let's go with this now.
Well, the Oscar situation. It's been going on. I'm fascinated by it, but also bemused at the same time because it's like, it's not really a story with all the things going on in the world, but every day there's always some type of level of ridiculousness about it that comes along. Like, it's kind of like it's supposed to matter. Like, of course, you know, what we're talking about is the situation where there are no, I think, major acting, black actors in major acting categories or movie categories.
Yeah.
So, of course, in this age of debate and taking over government buildings or whatever, so now someone says, well, why don't we boycott the Oscars? And of course, my initial reaction.
What are they going to boycott for? Because Will Smith had a bad Nigerian accent? What
you
is
like
it?
His accent, though. Am
I not on record in the paper? I love the.
Concussion
and Chirac. Okay, Mr. Chirac is me. Come on, I'm the white guy loving Chirac around here for a long time. I like that movie. Did I think that it's an Oscar worthy performance? He was really good, but I don't think it was Oscar worthy. Mm-hmm. Will Smith, Chirac. There were certain uneven parts to it, but it was a great concept, and I think people should see it. It was a very entertaining. It's a lot more entertaining than watching Stone Cold Steve Austin fighting to the death on a tropical island. Although that was good, too. Whatever it was called. Not Commando. Something like Commando.
Oh, I think it's the Expendables. Oh, my
something
God.
Like
I knew what that was, what he was talking about.
Wow. Your inside cast is brilliant.
Can you delete that?
It's on the record already.
All right. So,
you had a point. You mean you were... You said you got that, but what are they boycotting? Like you were walking up to that.
Well, I guess the point is you're boycotting it, but it's not like you know, black folks are like a huge part of the Oscars. This is more of the artsy sort of lavish. This is in a string of, you know, Hollywood sort of look at us, we're great, you know, Golden Globes, Emmys, all that stuff. So of those I just mentioned, you know, I guess the black sort of participation that is always minimal unless you get the host of it. And that's always, you know, it might be Chris Rock every 3 years.
Right. It's like a white mayor hiring a black police chief. You put that guy up there, you're covered.
Yeah, no.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. So, and he's funny.
Right. So that's the thing. So it's kind of like, oh, we'll show them. If you don't, my point is this. If no one shows up, sure, you know, black folks will be thinking about it, but I'm sure it'll be forgotten after the first half hour because there are people who are watching it are there to watch it for what they're there for.
For movies.
Right.
Right, exactly. And now, unless somebody, George Clooney, comes up and says something or, you know, whomever or, you know, or Carrot Top
they're
or whoever.
They're falling
they
over themselves. Then these guys are, these guys are all into
Carrot
themselves,
Top.
Right? We've all interviewed these people. You've had them. You've booked them for shows.
Sure.
They're just, you know what I mean? They're idiot savants of their own narcissism, right?
Sure.
And then, now they're loving the whole Jada Pinkett thing. But what if you're an actor, like, should Idris Elba boycott?
No, and I think he actually came out against the boycott, although he's been saying pro-diversity. He's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Will, you're right with that, yeah.
What?
Well, Will's right. I mean, he did come out and he said that, you know, that the diversity and the representation right. of blacks in media is needs to be changing. It needs to keep changing. He said it has changed. It's moved away from, you know, the stereotypes that we were all used to as younger generations. But
we're in the other stereotype now. Before we were in the Sidney Poitier, Bill Cosby stereotype.
Right.
Now we're in the Samuel Jackson do the same movie role again and again and again stereotype.
I think that's his limits rather than, right? than his casting. But Albert said that the boycott is foolish. But the fact that they've brought up the idea of boycott and they put it out there and it's been all over the news.
So self-serving.
It is. It absolutely is. But at the very least, they've done their part to further their cause.
What is their cause?
Their cause is just to be better represented in roles.
No. Their cause, Jada Smith's cause is her husband, Will Smith, who didn't get nominated. And she's mad. But she has they have a production company.
Right.
They have a lot of money.
Sure.
They've done a lot of things. My concern is for the actor who's just breaking in, mm-hmm. who's not the big star, right? Mm-hmm. African-American actor. What you're under pressure. You're going to not go, and then Harvey Weinstein will have you on a list, or go, and Will Smith will have you on a list.
Well, you know,
it's not. I think it's about the arts, man.
Yeah, but right. but about long-term gain. You know, the long plan here is that if someone's making a movie and they realize that if there are no black people in their movie, that people are going to be upset and say, "Hey, point a finger and say, hey, why? You know, you made a movie about Chicago, there aren't any black people in it, or whatever it is."
Right.
At least at some point, that thought's in their head.
I'm going to boycott the Pulitzers because no Greeks have won.
Well, but that's your cause, and there's nothing wrong.
No, it's not my cause. I'm a writer. These guys are actors. Sam Jackson, all these guys are actors. I agree that people should be represented, but I saw a movie the other day, you know, last night, actually. I've seen it before. I like it. It's stupid, but I like Danny Glover.
Sure. Okay. Oh, yeah.
So the movie where Mark Wahlberg, Jimmy Butler's best friend, Mark Wahlberg, is an assassin. Marine guy, shooter. Okay,
yeah. Yeah.
All right, and Danny Glover plays the evil guy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he could have been anybody playing that role.
Sure.
Right? So it wasn't jarring, and he's good at it. I like Danny Glover, although I didn't like the teeth thing. Do you know anything about his teeth?
No.
He had
no.
some kind of lisp going on.
Oh.
I thought, did he get new teeth or what? Well, you know, he's like... I said,
that was your takeaway.
What?
That was your takeaway.
A little takeaway of the teeth were a little distracting. All right. But still, what I mean is, he wasn't put in there because he's a black guy or. Well, maybe.
He could have been. I mean,
maybe it was like, we'll throw Danny Glover in there to have, like, to reach all the markets.
Right. I mean, that absolutely goes into casting. It's not.
Swords, right.
But at the same time, look at, like, Straight Outta Compton. The only person who was nominated for anything in Straight Outta Compton were white guys.
They were writers, right?
They were the screenwriters. And the movie was well received. I mean, obviously people
Authentico?
Say...
Well,
popular for weeks. It was it's number one for, I think, maybe 3 weeks or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and
did
it
you
was,
see it well?
No.
I didn't see it either.
I didn't see it either, but it was well received and people liked it and it got good reviews. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to nominate somebody, and even next time they go to nominate or someone's out there and like, hey... You know, just the very least. Let's look at our list. There's no black people on it, but there's a bunch of good black people who've done good roles. Nominate somebody just to avoid this, and then the next year it becomes, oh, look at who we nominated, and it grows from there. It snowballs. Hopefully, I mean, it's a scam to think it's done. The winners are the best actors.
That's a good point.
It's like the Boy Scouts of America nominating a woman to be the best Boy Scout of the year,
right?
Because they would never do
the
that.
Buffalo Bills putting a woman to be a coach
assistant.
Oh, sorry,
assistant.
Yeah. Well, that's
women are being marketed by the NFL.
Well, right. That's a good point. I think the thing about it is the thing that no one's really been talking about too is just like the politics that go into award season.
Yeah.
It's like you really have to start early on. Like, you know, last year and when a movie is released. Mm-hmm. If it's released too soon, it's forgotten.
Like the Moby Dick.
Right.
Movie. It's not released because why? They pushed it back because they thought Revenant was going to win?
Right. Well, Revenant, that was the whole thing. They decided to release Revenant because they're like, well, this is going to be Leo's chance to win. So we're going to wait it until, you know, December, late December.
Last moment and then put it in there. Right.
And that's what it is. So a lot of those things do happen on the side. And it's like there have been many, I think, black actors in movies for the past year, but how many can you say are excellent? And that's in people's minds.
I just don't want it to get into an affirmative action thing for artists. I really don't. What bothers me is you're a writer, you're not for me, I mean, other tastes may differ, but for me, I don't want a writer who identifies as, I'm a white writer, I'm a black writer. Just be a writer. Be yourself, your own voice. Mm-hmm. I don't want black actor, white actor.
Right.
I just want good actors.
It would be different if you were at something
like
Sundance.
I'm the whole king thing. The king thing is, no, seriously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, I agree. But the Oscars, it's political. It's not a talent
contest.
It's
money.
If you were at something like Sundance or the Toronto Film Fest or the Cannes, and it was like, you went there and you're like, well, there have to be black people represented. There have to be black movies being shown. That would be one thing, because that's where people go to see talent, people up and coming, like you were talking about. The Oscars, it's not a talent show.
Right.
It's about who had the best cred, who got their screeners to the right people in the Academy. And the Academy is mostly old white men. So,
right. Old liberal white men.
Right.
I love. In a way, I have to switch my whole point of view, because this is how columnists work. You guys just convinced me that I should write a column congratulating the old white liberal guys for keeping black people out of the Oscars. Awesome.
You should do that.
Would that not be a column?
Well, probably continuing to keep them out of the Oscars.
Continuing it. It would be well read, that's for sure. But that's my point, is that it's more political than it is talent-based and actual what you did on the screen.
Right, I agree. I agree there. I just don't like the whole – and then because once the Oscar – Jada Pinkett, I know she's upset because of Will. I know Mr. Smith. That's what it really is about.
Absolutely.
And then you get into the white people going, why aren't there three – what was the issue? Why aren't there three white guys on every NBA starting five? If we're going to do, you know what I mean? You get into these ridiculous things.
And
merit and talent are the only things that count, and they will always show through.
Sure.
And that's on my Hallmark card. So have a good day. Seize the day. Carpe diem, Jeff Carlin. Carpe diem, Will Lee.
So you need to take to the streets with your reporter hat on and start handing out bracelets and cards that's with that written on them, mm-hmm. and then ask for donations.
Just get my head smacked off.
That would work. Yeah. If that little Chinese guy can do it.
Little Chinese man. I thought it was like unique. Man, and then now I hear that you guys all know the Chinese man thing, so forget it. All right. How about this one? Another depressing. You want to hear a depressing thing that's right up your alley, Jeff Carlin?
I love being depressed.
Okay. The planet. What is it?
Planet 9.
Planet 9 from outer space.
Not Pluto.
No, not Pluto. Not the other planet. The dark planet that they can't even see, but scientists infer that it's there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Sure.
Made of dark ice. Okay?
Mm-hmm. In the Kuiper Belt.
How do you...
Travels through the Kuiper Belt.
Check you out, okay? Deep Space Nine over there. So, what if it's not a planet? That's the thing. The first thing I thought of, that it's not a planet.
What do you mean?
Like, it's not a planet.
Is it the Death Star?
That it's some kind of star, some kind of, like, craft.
Oh.
Ooh. Go
on. You didn't think this?
Well,
and they come down and they harvest us for, like, hemoglobin?
I did think that would be thought of by the guys. Because I actually talked to the guy who found it, who discovered it, Mark Brown at Caltech.
He writes for the Sun-Times.
Wrong Mark
Brown. Does not write about Greek things, though.
Wrong Mark Brown.
Why doesn't he write about Greek things?
Mark Brown. I didn't talk to that Mark
Tell
Brown.
Me about the other Mark.
But Mark Brown. So he's actually the guy who killed Pluto, by the way.
Hmm.
He killed Pluto, then he found its replacement?
And he found its replacement.
What a weasel. So what is it?
So
is it a planet?
It is a planet because of its size. So planets are all based on their gravitational pull and the non-lack of atmosphere. I mean, that's what defines a planet.
One thing you should know about Jeff Carlin, he is obsessed with space.
I am.
He loves space. Every space thing, when we were on the other show, everything that had science and space.
Yep. It's true. I have to space camp, too.
He makes it all sound so fancy.
He does.
But anyway, that was his point.
And he kind of looks like he could be the third cast member of Mythbusters.
God.
Rest
in peace. They canceled that show. This is last year.
Are they dead?
No, they're moving on to other things.
Okay. All right. So tell me about the planet.
But anyway, so Planet 9. So I mean, you understand the concept of how they discovered it. I think they discovered it. That's there.
Negative
they haven't seen
space
it.
Or something.
Yeah. So they,
it's like modern dancer husbands know so all about.
They essentially, they take up, they watch one specific part of the sky, the stars,
right.
continuously every night, day in, day out, year in, year out. And they track, they look and compare frame by frame, hour by hour, how the light coming off stars changes. So when they see a pattern,
such nerd stuff.
It is. Yeah. It's very amazing because, but the concept is that stars that are far away, they put out a constant amount of light. It doesn't change. It's in our star is a constant amount of light, so they know all the variables. So they watch and they see, well, these stars are flickering at a weird rate, or there's a connection between that star flickering next to it, and the one, and so on and so forth. And they track that, and they know that there's only reasons you can do that are a couple of things, and they're all gravity-based.
Okay.
And the only things that have gravity are stars and planets.
Okay, let's get to the planet now, because the process is...
Right, so they've discovered that
right.
a massive thing is changing the way the light's coming off these stars.
And it's also, like how the matter around it, like asteroids, are moving around it, too.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. And so they see things that shift and move... John's mind is exploding.
No, I'm doing that because Will, with his, like, you know,
I love astronomy.
Captain
yeah,
Kirk,
it's amazing. So that's the basis. So they figured it out. They know that there's no way that these
is it a planet?
It is a planet.
With blood sucking creatures that are going to come and kill us. That's what I want.
Well,
to know.
I don't think Jeff can say no for sure. It's a planet.
See?
Yes. Does it have evil life on it? Maybe.
Okay. It could be. It could
Maybe.
Be. Right. That's the definitely.
Do you get all you out here, there? Do you know the sound of melons when they drop off your first floor window onto the street? It makes that pop sound, right? Mm-hmm. Like an exploding mind.
Mm,
I'm about to explode yours, so
ooh.
Listen to this.
Mm-hmm. Buckle up.
A guy told me, but he studies planets too. Or let's put it this way, he reads scientific stuff.
Ooh.
A guy who reads scientific stuff just told me that there is a theory that there are other structures out deeper into space that are actual structures that could be some kind of energy-related transfers for other planets. Like, have you ever heard that one?
Yes. Like planets moving through galaxies that are being steered.
I didn't hear about that. I didn't get, you know, what the thing is about writing a column, I don't want to get into the whole MIT nerd thing. I just want to have the concept.
Yeah, okay, so
all right?
Yeah.
So there's some structures floating in space that, structures that were made that could be from other planets sucking energy from one part of the galaxy to those planets. You ever hear this?
No.
Yeah. A guy told me.
Oh. He wasn't trying to sell you.
No. It's Matt Labine.
Mark Labine.
Mark Labine at the Tribune.
Oh.
We were talking about the column today. Mm-hmm. And he said, what are you thinking about tomorrow? I said, the vampire planet. And then he told me about this other thing. He probably, I think he emailed it to me, the link. You guys talk for a second.
So.
How's it going, Will?
It's going pretty good, except for this, evil planet that's going on. That's kind of frightening, although potentially awesome.
It's got like a 10,000 or 1,000 year trajectory around the sun. So it takes, it's essentially orbit is 1,000 years. So
1,000 years of sucking the life out of every human being. Right?
It's just as well. What are we going to do? What are we doing with our lives?
Yeah,
if
that's
they
true.
Did, you know? If we do have connection with First Contact.
Sure.
You studied
good
this,
movie.
Mr. Science, yeah. Right? Right?
Yeah.
We're dead men, right? And women,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if somebody gets to us, like that's the whole thing. If someone comes to us or
Independence
something.
Independence Day?
They've
yeah.
clearly got better technology than we do, and we're screwed. Just give it up.
What would they,
yeah.
right?
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, it's like it's.
We can't always count on being saved by the smallest bacteria.
Right. You know? It's like the Spanish landing in the New World. You know, the Indians didn't stand a chance because they didn't have the technology. And I mean, it's the same concept.
But they weren't unified. They should have slaughtered them all.
Well,
not that I want anybody.
But
to
we're not them. Unified. I mean, we're not unified.
We're not unified
as a race.
But we might need a one-world government to fight off the potential of outer space attacks.
Now, what if?
I have John's tinfoil hat right here underneath the desk.
I'm just trying to set you up for Emperor Palpatine thing, the politics of Star Wars thing, but I'm not going to go there. All right, so, okay, that's
the column for Sunday?
I don't know.
I think it should be.
What, the science?
Not the science. I mean, that's not. I mean, who are you, Lou Dobbs, who founded space.com?
It's probably there, right? You can find all about it there in Science Magazine and all the other. Mm-hmm. No, I would much rather go through. The way I like to do science columns is to go through to Google Pulp Fiction, Science Fiction Art.
Ooh.
And then look for those covers like on Fantastic Worlds or Creatures Among Us or whatever the great. And look at those. That's what I do. Like the hot girl with this kind of superhero costume fighting the dragon with a spear. You know, stuff like that.
Right.
What?
I'm not tripping. No, it just kind of sounds like heavy metal. You know, the old heavy metal.
Yeah, remember that?
Yes.
I loved that cartoon with John Candy as the boy.
Oh, yeah.
That's good stuff.
He becomes a big man. Oh, same voice.
Yeah, he kept that same kind of squeaky John Candy voice.
Right.
He's dead now, right, John Candy?
Since 94, I think.
Do we have any notable deaths?
What do you mean?
And notable celebrity deaths?
Besides David Bowie, who I...
Yeah, right?
David Bowie.
Were you sad with that?
I was, actually.
Glenn Frey.
I don't think 69 is old, and he's a very youthful-looking guy always through, you know.
And people keep saying that, oh, he died so young. I mean, these guys lived hard freaking lives. I mean,
he's 75 years old or something, right?
Who?
69.
So, but I mean, thing.
But if you were a rock star, the majority of your life, and then you made it to 69, I think that's a win.
Okay, explain why Mick Jagger is still alive.
Stem cell therapy.
Is it? For the lips? Because his lips regenerate? He's like an 80-year-old man talking about like doing lusty things when you're singing about lusty songs. I mean, come on.
Come on,
you old decrepit dude with your fake lips.
Well, thanks to Viagra, that's a reality now, my friend. You know,
yeah, I guess.
As long as you live.
Yeah, there you go.
Because there's nothing more attractive to a woman than an 80-year-old guy with collagen lips.
Yeah.
You mean the rich rock star who probably, yeah, of course.
Who could fly you around the world just because. People were talking about Elvis's birthday a couple weeks ago. He would have been 84, I think it was.
All right, tell me the truth. Did he die on the toilet?
He did.
No donut?
I don't know about eating a donut.
What was he eating?
Seems counterproductive, but he was definitely...
Or more efficient, really.
Takes a while. Oh, yeah.
Can anybody... I know that listeners will listen to this if they ever put it out, but right now, are we the only three?
We're the people.
Good, because I looked at the guy through the glass. I'm like... Is he listening to me talk about Elvis dying on the crapper?
No. But
that did happen.
He did die in the crapper. But he was taking so many pills that he was all stopped up, and that's what killed him because that happened. But my point was that if he was still alive today, what products would he be endorsing? Because he wouldn't be making music, most likely, because he didn't take care of himself. Viagra. He would totally be doing, you know, endorsing Viagra.
Right. Undergarments for elderly people.
Depends.
Or silver. He'd be, you know, trying to sell you silver or reverse mortgages.
Like the president from 24.
Exactly.
William DeVay.
Exactly.
Right? With those choppers. Mm-hmm. Anybody with a teeth like that, I'll buy gold from him. I mean, he's a scary-looking guy, isn't he?
And then Elvis would sell you, thank you very much. And then, you know.
Yeah, exactly. There it is. That would be his tagline. That would be great.
See?
All right, let's get into the news before we have to go. What news events? Oh, I got to say something. I want another story that's not in the news.
Mm-hmm.
We took a picture the other day at the Tribune. And we gathered, everyone was told at the Tribune, gather on the fourth floor. So there are hundreds of people gathered in the newsroom. And one of our great photographers got up on a big ladder and took this group shot. Will and I are the two guys with the big heads in the back.
Speak for yourself, Pat.
Ebony and Ivory. We're right back there. Okay? The guy with the white kind of hair is me, and there's Will. You're sitting next to Phil Rosenthal, right?
I am.
And it was kind of sad.
Why?
Because we've lost so many people through layoffs and buyouts and right, and still to see hundreds and hundreds of people working. Everyone's doing more than one job now, working to get that news out. I don't know. I don't want to sound real like, you know, Braveheart and all that with a big speech, but I don't know. It made me feel It made me feel sad and proud of my colleagues. Like Will, all the guys who go out there on the street every day. And all the people we've lost. When what the Tribune was, and you know how we used to have bureaus all over the world and in major cities in America, mm-hmm. a St. Louis bureau, obviously a Washington bureau, Spokane and Los Angeles bureau, a Denver bureau. It just, the whole thing is, I don't know, maybe I need the little Chinese man to come up and give me a hug, give me some peace.
This time have some money for him.
Because you're relatively newer to the paper, but not that new. Mm-hmm. What did you think of being there?
It was that sentiment of it, but it was also being able to see all the people who are there. Like, we're never at the same place at the same time. Maybe the Beck Awards, which is coming up next month, but we're never. Sometimes you're passing people high and by. That's most of it. So then to kind of see everybody kind of, you know, show up and, you know, give their best fake smiles or whatever, even after everything we've gone through, it was kind of inspiring to say we're still here. You know, even though there are far fewer than there were, let's say, 2 months ago, you know, the Sun Times is really hemorrhaging. I've had many friends over there who have, you know, gone on to greener pastures or left journalism or whatever. So it's, you know, it's really not just about the paper. It's about this city and what a news town it used to be. And now we're kind of the early part of the 21st century and we're all trying to figure it all out now. We're the same frontier town we've always been, but how we do our jobs is so much different now. And it's I don't know. It's a very interesting time to be living in right now.
You could. I've always thought Chicago would demand hard news because we have the crooked politicians. We have the murders. We have the things that people that affect people, and we write those stories. What worries me is that as newspapers transition, I don't want us to be chatty, even though I'm sitting here on a mic. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's not all snark. Snark. Right. You could do snark on Twitter,
right?
And do it just quickly, mm-hmm. right? But that's not enough for me. Maybe I'm too old school now. Maybe I'm the guy who used to use Old Spice before it was cool again. You know what I mean? When like the old guy, Old Spice,
Breach Cologne.
No, there was Old Spice grandpa's used it.
My dad used it. I used it. It was my first deodorant. I think was Old Spice.
Yeah,
because my dad gave it to me.
Well, older folks, the people who are, you know, still actually buying paper and, you know, make it a point to buy the paper every day, they still want it. They still need to know what's going on. They want to know what new stores are coming into their towns or their neighborhoods and all of that. The problem is now we're starting newspaper industry, print industries, trying to go after the 20-somethings who read everything on their devices, you know, not a phone or a tablet on your device. You read the whole story there. And they don't always know what they're looking for. We have to tell them what's important and why it's important. They'll get it by the time they're 30, 35.
If it's hot looking and very tight clothing that looks like you want to have sex with it, mm-hmm. they will read it.
Clickbait, baby.
Right? Sure. That's what it is, right?
Look at the Daily Mail. I mean, that's all that thing is.
Really?
You ever go on their website? I mean,
tabloids.
Like the hottest actresses of the 80s? Where are they now? Yeah. I have to click on it.
I know. Daily Mail has people ever around the planet. But then you go to their website and you're like, oh, I'm going to see what crazy stories are going on. And then the side column, it's just like half naked women and you get distracted by it. And then 2 hours is gone.
All right, we're not going to change the fate of journalism today.
No.
I saw our boss, Jerry Kern, put something out on Facebook. I put it on my Facebook. It's just to see these people, my colleagues, so courageous, staring in the face of, I don't know what, an uncertain future, and still doing the job right. Because the problem will be if there was no newspaper, or if a newspaper was so weak that reporters were worried where their next step would be.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of coverage, honest coverage, would you expect?
Very little.
When people are trying to get gigs as spokesmen? Or maybe David Axelrod will take favor on me and make me a, you know, bring me to the University of Chicago. Or, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing. Then you get into the whole who's writing that blog and why, and who pays for it and why. And for right now, and still for the future that I can see, the Tribune will not be that place. We're going to be in a journalism place. All right, listen, everybody. Thanks for being with the Chicago Way. Don't worry about the planet. Jeff and Will said they're not full of vampires. And I'm sorry if you heard the Chinese little Chinese man story before. I never saw him before. I'm sorry, Will, that I didn't memorize and know your story. I'm going to maybe write an Oscar column or not, but whatever it's going to do, whatever we do, it'll be all about the Chicago Way.